Tuesday today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead here again to have another conversation with you about some of the stories that matter. Folks, I want to begin by just letting you know there is a flash flooding warning. I'm sure I am not giving you new information at this point. If you're anywhere in the outskirts of Baltimore City, anywhere in the outskirts of the boonies here, you have been hit by whatever is going on outside, from the thunder to the lightning to the intense rain to the darkness. We just ask you to be careful while you're out there. As you're listening to the show, if something gets you upset, pull over first before you call and be a part of the show. We have a lot on tap for today, and I want to jump right into the conversation. I want to begin by thanking the Baltimore Business Journal, which at this moment they are presenting me with the Leaders in Diversity Award. So I am excited to be one of the people selected for my work in diversity, in equity, and inclusion, to be selected to receive the Leaders in Diversity Award, to be the only radio host right here doing my show from WEAA, representing and working for the culture. We educate all African Americans and anyone else who is listening to have that opportunity to be profiled, to be honored, to be seen in that way. So thank you to the Baltimore Business Journal for bestowing on me the 2021 Leaders in Diversity Award, which is happening at this moment, actually. A couple of topics I want to put on the table today for what we'll call part two of our weekly wrap. As we're thinking about the things that are happening around the country and around the city. Some of the things I've been thinking about, and you're free to call 410-319-8888 and put whatever you would like on the table. One of the things I've been thinking about are the studies that have been coming out talking about college. Now, we have on this show had intense conversations about whether or not Black and Latino students should be going on to college and using that as a way to close the wealth gap. That my argument and my belief is that education is the great equalizer, that we have looked at research that has shown that over a lifetime, people who have a college degree or specialize in a trade make more money over a lifetime than somebody with a high school diploma. So if you are someone and you are a mechanic and or an engineer, then you have either a college degree or you specialize in a trade and you make more money over a lifetime than someone with a high school diploma. Actually, you're talking about it can be as much as $1 million over a lifetime if you either A, continue along the educational path, or B, you specialize in a trade, which is why we make the argument time and time again that here in Baltimore City, they should be setting it up so that young people can specialize in a trade, that it's not just enough to finish high school. You must have a trade, or if you don't have a trade, you need to make your way to college. In either sense, you're going to have to move forward. Well, what has come out, what has recently come out, which I think is very disturbing, is what they're finding is that college alone does not close the wage pay gap for Black and Latino students, that there is an existing gap between African American and Hispanic students from their white counterparts, and being a part of the process, going to college and going through that, is not enough to close the gap. It's not enough to do it. In fact, you have to be actively involved in other things to be a part of it. So I think that's interesting that when we look at how we're going to do this, we need to think about the ways in which we are working to close the achievement gap, and we're working to close the wealth gap. This study says that everyone argues that a college degree is the path to prosperity. For white and Asian families, that's largely still true. Higher education not only brings with it better pay and more stability, it also creates a buffer against the negative effects of recessions and other short and long-term economic pitfalls. But for Black and Latino students, a college degree doesn't have the same protective power. I want us to take a look at that because there's something about knowing that if you have a degree, you have a certain amount of protection from living out through a life of poverty. You have a buffer in place to keep you from falling. If you have that in place, then you are allowed to move forward. So this report from the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis found that Black and Latino students with degrees actually lost wealth at higher rates during the recession and accumulated wealth at smaller rates over the last couple of decades than Black and Latino students without degrees. Meanwhile, Asian and white families led by a person with a four-year degree weathered the recession better, accumulated more money long-term than white and Asian families headed by a person without a degree. Like this notion that you are not getting as much bang for your buck if you have a college degree. So that no matter what you're doing, if you're doing the work, if you're putting in the time, if you're taking out the student loans, if you focus on trying to get through college, the goal is to come out better on the other side. The goal is to come out and be able to rinse and repeat and be successful because you've put in the work. This study is finding that that is not correct. Median wealth declined by about 72% among Latino college-educated families. And only 41% among non-college educated families. Among Black folks, then we talk about how we had median wealth declining. Black folks with college degrees lost median wealth. 60% of Black folks with college degrees were impacted by this. If you did not have a college degree, you only lost wealth at about 37%. So what are all these numbers telling us? What we're finding is that having a degree, if you are Black or brown in this country, having a degree does not give you the buffer. It does not give you the safety rail. It does not guarantee that you're going to be able to successfully move your family on the path toward generational wealth. And that has not always been the path. That has not always been the case. That has not always been the truth. If we go back just a bit, we know that Black folks were able to climb their ways out of impoverished conditions because they sent the next generation to college. Knowing that even though mom couldn't read, I'm going to make sure that my children can read. Because if my children can read, they can move farther along the path. And then what they will ensure is that their children will then be able to push us as a family unit along the path toward generational wealth. It is supposed to get better each step of the way. And what we are finding is that it's not. That education is not the buffer. Education is not the catch-all. Education is not saving Black people. I am greatly disturbed by this. And there are a couple of reasons why this is happening. And I want to spell that out. And then I want to have the conversation with you about why I think it's necessary for Baltimore City to begin to move in another direction. By just setting people up, that is college or career, we are actually setting them up to fail. I have often said that when students get to college, they need to A, figure out their major, B, figure out their career, and 3, figure out their hustle. 1, 2, 3, A, B, C. What is your major? What are you planning for your career? And what is your hustle? See, your major is what you're going to focus on in college, what you're going to zero in on. So you can major in English, for example, but your career choice is to be a lawyer. And your hustle is that you know how to do hair. I'm going to use those 3 things right there. Because your major is going to help you get focused going through the next 4 years. It's going to determine what you're going to get your master's degree in. It's going to determine whether or not you go on to law school or medical school, or you go and you get your PhD or your EdD or your MBA. Your major will focus you to figure out what's going to happen next with your career, but you also have to have a hustle. What can you do and make money from when you can't get a job? So if the man's not giving you a job, if the woman's not giving you a job, what's your hustle? What are you going to do to be able to sustain yourself and sustain your family if you don't have a job? Right? If you can't fulfill your career goals, what are you going to do? If COVID-19 hasn't taught us anything else, it has taught us that people need to have a hustle. Because what we're finding here is that Black and Latino families are less likely to have diversified assets and more likely to have more of their wealth concentrated in housing. We buy the house because we believe that that's a path to generational wealth, which it is. But then we don't diversify anything else. You don't have your retirement fund set up. Do you have stocks and bonds? Are you averaging and evening things out in terms of your finance? What's the other income coming into the house? Latino and Black homeowners were also hit with more steeply declining home prices than white and Asian families. Like my dad said, when you buy a home, you can fix up the house. You can't change the neighborhood. So when you buy a home, think about the neighborhood, since that is ultimately what's important. You can fix the house. You can take out loans and fix the house. You just can't fix the neighborhood. Let me just say, you can pour $1 million into your home and people are shooting up, getting shot down the block, and that's never going to change. You can't do it. Instead, as my dad said, what you want to do, put the money into the neighborhood. Find you a neighborhood where it's safe. Take a look at the schools in the neighborhood. Can you walk in the neighborhood? Is there green space in the neighborhood? He told us, go and park the car at night on the block. See what's happening when the lights go out. See if people are out walking their dogs. Is anybody out jogging in the neighborhood? Are they riding their bikes? Are there children in the neighborhood? My dad would break it down because my dad was into real estate. He said, look, are there apartments on your block? Because if there are apartments on your block, then you know you're turning things over really quickly. Be on a block that has all houses on it. He also would talk to us about the difference between having a connected house, is what he would call it, which is a row house, and having a house that sits as a single unit. He would tell us, get you a house that sits as a single unit. Don't have your house attached to anybody else. That way you can hear nothing through your walls, that the whole house is yours. So when you are looking to put money into your home, before you put money into a $200,000 house, what does the neighborhood look like? Because you might need to get you a fixer-upper in a good neighborhood than get you a stellar house in a neighborhood that's declining. He also said, look at neighborhood trends. Don't get a neighborhood that today is a good neighborhood, but yesterday it wasn't. Because if yesterday it wasn't, then tomorrow it has an opportunity to not be it again. When we come back, I want to delve deeper into this because I'm thinking that college is not the only path. Where are we putting our money to build generational wealth? Today with Dr. K, we're talking about building generational wealth for the children of our children. Stay with us. We'll pick it up after the break. Today with Dr. K, I'm Dr. K Wise Whitehead. Folks, today's show is really about one thing. We are talking about how to build generational wealth. What should we be doing? There is a new study that came out that has multiple streams that talk about how for Black and Latino students, Black and Brown students, going to college does not close the wage gap like it does within the white and the Asian American communities. Hear me when I tell you. For white and Asian American students, the more degrees they accumulate, the more money they make over a lifetime. That's the way it used to be for Black folks. It used to be, hey, mom couldn't read. She made sure little Rashad could read. Rashad got his high school diploma. Rashad made sure little Raquan went to college. So Raquan made more money than Rashad made, than Rashad's mama made. Right? You go along that path, and the more degrees you accumulate, the more money you make over a lifetime. What they have found is just the opposite. That black and brown folks, the more degrees you have, the more money that you lose. I am just blown away by this. The numbers that have come out by a new report by the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis found that blacks and Latinos with degrees lost wealth at a higher rate during the recession and accumulated wealth at a smaller rate over the last couple of decades than black and Latinos without degrees. So going to college, if you are black or you're brown in this country, going to college, if you are not diversifying your money, is going to break you. I said there are three things that black folks need to think about when they're getting ready to come out of college, out of high school, right? So you're finishing high school and you're trying to figure out what exactly are you going to do. If you are going to college, if that is your goal, I ask young people, just like I ask my own sons, you're going to college. Are you going to get a job, a career that fills an essential need? I mean, I'm just going to be real honest with you. I mean, this is going to hurt, okay? But I'm going to be real honest with you. You're majoring in English. You're going to major in history. You want to major in pottery. You want to major in creative writing. I want to support all of that. I do. And I say live your dreams. But what career are you going to get that fills an essential need? Because whatever that is, that's going to determine whether you're living large in a second home or whether you're hanging out doing staycations. I mean, it's going to be real clear. It's not an easy conversation. I want my children to follow their dreams. I also want my children to be able to feed themselves and take care of their families. Let's be very, very clear. I have informed my sons, yes, if you are an artist, if you are the next Elizabeth Catlett, you're the next Charles White, you're the next Calvin Coleman, I am so with you on that. Tell me how you're going to eat until your art picks up. I'm just saying, there's got to be a plan. If you're going to be the next Ta-Nehisi Coates, you want to be the next Jasmine Ward, you're going to be the next, you know, poet on the market, okay, I'm with that. Tell me how you're going to eat until your book hits the New York Times bestseller list. I'm just asking. You want to be a dancer? You want to be a singer? You like to rap? Okay, I am with that. Sing, rap, dance to your heart's content. But how are you going to eat until Broadway calls, until Puff Daddy calls, until your book, you know, until you're the poet standing at the inauguration for the president, until that happens, how are you going to eat? Because if your plan for eating is based upon your father and I feeding you, then that is not a plan. That is called a dream. And we are not dreaming at this moment. We are planning at this moment. You got to tell them, hey, I know people getting ready to graduate. My son just graduated on Saturday. Hard conversations. We are not dreaming at this moment. We are planning at this moment. What is your plan? So if you're going to college and now we're getting ready to invest more money into you, because let's be clear, unless your child has a full and complete ride, and I know some young people who received that this year. I know a young one of my son's friends is going to University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. He's a Morehead Cain Scholar. In fact, Nigel Parker, he was our fellow on the show. Dude is getting a full and complete ride, including stipend, summer monies, done. Okay, you're fine. For the rest of us, I'm getting ready to invest more money in you because I got to get you to college. So that's going to cost me some money. I'm going to have to put some groceries in your room, your college room. That's going to cost me some money. I got to get you a blanket, washcloth, soap, you know, supplies. That's going to cost me some money. You're probably going to take a couple new clothes with you. That's going to cost me some money. You need to have your cell phone running. I got to pay for that. You got to get books. I was shocked when my son, this is my oldest son, who's down in college in Memphis, the first semester of college, when he called me and said, I need to get books for college. I was like, dude, you might need to borrow. How much are the books? He sent me a bill, hear me, for books that was in the range of $800 to $900. I'm like, are you kidding me? What type of books are you buying? So we had to come up with a new plan. I said, you know what? I am not buying you a brand new book for statistics and you're not majoring in that. So you are one and done. So you need to find you a used book or go to Amazon, because Amazon, you can now rent books. You got to rent them and take them back at the end of the semester. I was like, rent you a book from Amazon for $25 and then turn it in. I will buy you books in your major. I will rent you books and stuff you're taking to fulfill your core. Hey, got to have a plan. We're not dreaming right now. We are planning. You got to have three things. I told my sons going to college. I need to know what your major is. And when you map out your major for me, you need to tell me how you're starting and how you're going to end. Are you getting out in 4 years? If you're not getting out in 4 years, then that means in my mind, you're taking a fifth bump year to get your master's degree. Okay, so do a BA, MA, do a joint combined program. I'm okay with that. When are you studying abroad? Because if you are in college for 4 years, that junior year, I don't expect to see you on American soil. I'm just telling you the hard conversation I had with my sons. You are not expected to be on American soil your junior year. I got to pay tuition anyway. So let's use that year to study abroad. What country are you going to? And how does that country visit tie into your major? I'm sorry, if you want to go to Italy, okay, what are you majoring in? Because if you want to go to Italy for your study abroad junior year, then I'm expecting you to take Italian your first year. Let's map it all out. My youngest son, he's like, he wants to go down to South America as a junior. Okay, well, good. You have fluency in Spanish. That's perfect. So I'm expecting you to take Spanish every semester to that way your junior year, you are getting the best out of the bang for the buck. What is your major? And are you prepared for that major? Number two, what's your proposed career? Now, your career could change along the way. I mean, I changed my major as a student like 15, 20 times. I shouldn't have. I didn't have as much information as the young people have today, right? What did Maya Angelou say? As you know more, you do better, right? You do better when you know more. I didn't know. I didn't know what I was doing in college. I was figuring it out. They don't have to figure it out. So what is your career? Because your career has to tie into your major. And then what's your hustle? What can you do on campus where you can make some money? I've told my sons and they didn't listen. So now I'm telling your sons and daughters and young people, because my children didn't listen. I told my sons, young African-American men, I said, go over to Nile Style with Shania, learn how to cut hair. My brother-in-law's a very successful barber. They're successful barbers right here in Baltimore City. Learn how to cut hair. Because if you learn how to cut hair, when you go to campus, there are going to be brothers on campus, and they're going to want to have a fresh cut. And if you can do the fresh cut, and you're charging $25 a head, you can knock off 4 heads in a weekend and get $100 in your pocket. That's your hustle. You got a daughter. I'm like, hey, do you know how to do perms? I'm serious, y'all. Can you put in a perm and can you put a nice fresh cut and curl? Because if you can do that, then on campus, sisters are going to need to get their hair done. If you know how to do perms, if you know how to lay it, if you know how to braid, that's a hustle. That is a hustle. Figuring out how you can make some money when you can't get a job. That's if you're going to college. If your child is not going to college, and they are instead going the career path, then my question for them is, what is your trade? Because you got to get a trade. and then figure out your career and then figure out your hustle. Let's be clear. If you are not going to college, then what are you going to be able to do to feed yourself? Mommy, I want to be a mechanic. Okay, let's find a trade school. So then that way you can go and you can study being a mechanic because your career is going to be a mechanic and your hustle should be fixing cars on the weekend for people. Hey, Dr. King said, when your car breaks down at 2 a.m. in the morning, the most important person in the world is not your heart surgeon. The most important person in the world is not your stockbroker. At 2 a.m. in the morning, when your car breaks down, the most important person in the world is your mechanic. And you will pay that mechanic whatever it costs to get you moving. My car broke down on Saturday. How I wish that one of my sons was a mechanic. Got the car towed. The guy told me, oh, you have a little hole in your stern wheel pump. I don't even know what it's called. You got a little bit of a hole. We're going to plug the hole. It took 15 minutes to plug the hole. Like, that's it. Open up the car, walked in, boom, plug the hole. I got a bill for almost $500. I'm like, well, the actual plug in the hole was 20 bucks. The labor is what cost me. That 15 minutes to look, see what the problem was, and plug the hole is what cost me. That's fine. Be a mechanic. What's your trade? What trade school are you going to? What is your career that you're choosing, and what is your hustle? Figuring that out. Because what it's saying here in this study is that home values for Black folks and Latina folks are going down because people are putting their money in the house and not in the neighborhood. I want to just break that down for you. Having a big old house and putting $1 million worth of renovation into a house that's in a community that does not sustain the value of your house, you're going to lose money in the long run. Your house should be going up in value, appreciating in value, not depreciating. It depreciates when the neighborhood is going down. You got this wonderful home, folks are shooting up on a corner. You're not going to be able to sell that home with any kind of money. Thinking about programs. I told my oldest son who's majoring in English. I said, hey, you need to go to law school. And on your way to law school, think about becoming a teacher. Yeah. Why? Because if you are a teacher, or if you are a police officer, or if you are a firefighter, in most cities they have a teacher next door program, a police officer's next door program, a firefighter next door program, where you can buy your house and the city will put up one half of the cost of your house in a silent mortgage. And after 3 years of living in that house, they release that balloon amount and it becomes accumulated wealth in your home. Teacher Next Door program. Just saying. When we talk about how we're going to do this, because people are putting their money into their houses. What they found that according to a report from the Haas Institute for a Fair and Inclusive Society, 9.8 million households remain underwater coming out of the recession. Can't seem to dig themselves out of the recession. And out of that, African Americans and Latino families account for 40% of the population in 71 of the 100 hardest hit cities, including Baltimore. We make up a majority of the population. We fall behind. We are treading water. We're trying to keep our head above water, and we are drowning in the process. We are not building generational wealth. We have to address the impact of college and what are we telling our children when they go off to college. It is not about going and having a four-year-long frat party, a four-year-long sorority fest. What is your major? What is your planned career? And what is your hustle? I would argue. And then I want to open up the line for phone calls, 410-319-8888. I would argue that it is time, and I'm going to say something, and I don't think it's going to be very popular, but I'm just going to put it out here because I had a conversation with lawyer Billy Murphy, who drove this point home for me. It is time for Black people to start telling their children that they need to major in essential careers and fields. Major in essential careers and fields. In other words, what is needed in society? Because what you want to do is you want to work to fill that need. Listen, I am all for young people majoring in music. I am. Pottery, basket weaving. Do your thing. Okay. If you're going to major in music, pottery, basket weaving, I'm just using those as an example. I'm not disparaging towards those careers and majors. I'm just saying, if that's what you're majoring in, then double major. Get a second major. Hey, get you a backup major to the major that fulfills your dreams. Okay. Again, keep talking about my own sons. You're going to major in English? I told my son, okay, do English and do global studies. Why? Because the world is becoming a village. In your global studies, go ahead and ramp up your Spanish. I said, you've been taking Spanish for 12 years in high school, middle school, elementary school. Keep that going so you come out on the other side and then you have two languages. You got your music, got your drama. I want to be an actor. That's fine. Do all of that and then get your double major. What are the essential fields? There was a great skit. And I'm going to see if Justina can find it. And this is where I'll go to your calls. If we can find this skit. It was on Saturday Night Live. I can't think of the actor's name, but it's the Black guy from Get Out who was also in Black Panther. He was on Saturday Night Live a couple of weeks ago. I'm not a big Saturday Night Live watcher, but someone sent me this clip where he is with his wife, right? They're playing a role, and their son's in college, and they believe their son is majoring in medicine. And instead, he wants to be a poet. And they're like, okay, what the pandemic taught us is that the world doesn't need more poets. What the pandemic taught us, hey, we need scientists. We need engineers. We need Black doctors. We need Black nurses. What has Black Lives Matter taught us? We need Black lawyers. We need Black judges. Come on now. What has the collapse in the K-12 education system taught us? We need Black teachers. We need Black principals. We need so many Black counselors and Black psychologists and Black psychiatrists because we're dealing with post-traumatic slave syndrome. We need our children to go into essential careers. We need Black stockbrokers. We need Black folks to help us with our money. We need Black CPAs, certified public accountants. I'm sorry. Let us keep it going. I've told my sons, do not go get a PhD in what mommy did. Nope. We don't need any more Black historians. I love history. I do. Nope. You need to be an essential worker, which means that your particular specialty is essential to moving the Black community along the path. That's what I mean about essential worker. Not just being a doctor or a nurse, coming out of COVID-19, be an essential worker. How does your career, how does your skill set, how does your talent, how does your hustle help the community, the Black community, to move along the path and keeps you fed? Put you in that house you want, take care of, you know, getting your car paid off, making sure you're saving up for your kids to have a college education. You can take a little vacation with your family every year. Come on. I mean, we can say these things are negative things, but you can't tell me that you're raising your child to not be able to take care of themselves. I'm sorry. We have that clip. Let's go to this clip. It is so funny. From Saturday Night Live, and I'm going to take your calls on the other side.
Proud of yourselves. First year of college in the GAM.
Now, I hate to be that dad, but Nick actually won an award for his final project.
It was nothing really. It was just a piece I made in my postmodern sculpting class.
We actually, you know, we brought it.
Wow.
Kind of takes your breath away.
Hey, that's fantastic. You know, I'm proud to say I know the next Picasso.
Yes, Nick. It looks like you're going to be a famous artist someday.
Oh, thanks, Mr. and Mrs. Obi.
And how are things going for you over at Drexel, David?
Oh, David is studying to be a medical doctor. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And we are very proud of him. Paging Dr. Obi.
David, why don't you tell everyone about your pre-med classes?
Yeah.
He is excelling in chemistry.
Well, I actually changed my major to creative writing.
You did what?
I changed my major to creative writing.
Creative who?
Creative writing.
God forbid.
What is creative writing?
Something I'm really passionate about. I actually won the Promising Young Writer Award.
Well, that's fantastic.
Nice, buddy.
Oh, yes, very nice, buddy. An award. Can you pay the bills with an award?
Will you buy a house with an award?
Promising Young Writer. Who promised you what?
When Nick said he won an award, you guys said he was going to be famous.
We were lying!
Yes. Creative writing, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. How are you going to eat? Now, before y'all call me and blast me saying I'm going against liberal arts, no, I was a history major in college. My dad supported. I did history at one point, because that's what I ended off with, but I started with drama, nursing, singing. I did it all. I'm saying, but when you know more, you do a little bit better. My sons don't have to do it all. I can just give them the benefit of my experience so that when they get to be my age, I'm telling you, we want them large and in charge. That's what we want. 410-319-8888. When we come back, we got Daryl and we got Corey, and we still have a line open for you. Welcome back to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. What we're talking about is this study that came out, which is blowing me away. They said, look, black folks, here's the thing. You are getting, I'm going to use the exact words they use in this article, black and Latinx students are getting less bang for their bachelor's degrees bucks. You're getting less bang for the buck. What is concerning is that they're showing in this study how underrepresented students of color face much lower odds of making it to graduation. So I started to show off with saying how we get the degrees and we're not able to cash in the degrees, right? We put all our money into our house, which I'm all into that. I'm in the process of renovating as well. Not buying a house, y'all. You're buying the neighborhood. If you think of it that way, that changes everything. You're buying the neighborhood. If where you're living now, are you prepared to possibly live the rest of your life there? You're trying to flip it. It's okay to flip. Now is a good time to go get you a house and make you a plan. How's your credit? Bad question, right? How is your credit? So you can get your home and flip it if that is your plan. Student loans. What's your plan here in terms of making it through college? Here's another issue in terms of getting that less bang for the buck is what they have found for black and Latinx students. This is a recent study. They get to the BA, Bachelor of Arts degrees, or BS, Bachelor of Science degrees, and they stop there. You can't stop there. You actually, if you really want to get higher earnings, you have to keep going. And here's the part that's going to get you. The university where you attend, it actually does matter. It's not just about, I go to this big, huge PWI, you know, a persistently white institution. No. The schools now that are giving the most bang for the buck, hear me, are HBCUs. Yeah. Morgan State University, Howard University, Spelman College, Lincoln University in Pennsylvania, my alma mater. More bang for the buck, because what you're setting up is a network that will help you along the way. Now, you don't have to be good at statistics to understand that it's not about what you know. It is about who you know. It does matter. The connections matter. You attend competitive universities that will help you with more job placement and choose high return majors. High return majors are majors in science and engineering. Those are high return major. Black and Latino folks tend not to have a safety net. Do you have a big safety net from your parents? You don't? But you can build that safety net for your children, knowing that every generation has to have it a little bit better, because we tend to start this race with less money in our pocket, a smaller savings account, and what we want to do is we want to pour that into our children to move them up. Something that Billy Murphy said, and this is where I'll go to the calls. He said, are you poor or are you broke? Justina was on the phone. He said, because if you're poor, poor is a state of mind. If you're broke, you got money, but you don't have wealth. Hear me, because I found out in talking to Billy Murphy, Justina, that I'm broke. That's what I found out talking to Billy Murphy. Billy Murphy said being poor is a state of mind. Being broke, you have money, but you don't have wealth. Wealth is where your money works for you. When you're broke, you work for your money. Uh-oh. Which one are you? Are you poor? Are you broke? Or do you have wealth? Poor. That's a state of mind. When you're poor, it doesn't matter how much you get. It comes in and comes out. Comes in and comes out, right? When you're broke, you got money, but you ain't got wealth. If you're wealthy, your money is working for you. If you're broke, you're working for your money. Where was I every day of the pandemic, Justina? I was right here with Justina and Dre working for my money. I'm broke. I'm working for my money. I know people during the pandemic who were home and their money was working for them. I want my sons, I'm going to be real transparent today. I want my sons to have wealth. I want them, if there's another global pandemic, which we're going to have another one, I'm sure in about 10 years or so, I want them to be home and their money is working for them. There's a difference, being poor, being broke, or being wealthy. 410-319-8888. Let's have the conversation. I have Daryl on the phone. Daryl's a new caller from Maryland, and then I'll go to Corey from Woodlawn. Daryl, how are you?
I am blessed, Dr. King. The first thing I want to say is I listen to you every day, and I thank you for what you do. I live down the street from Billy Murphy in Cherry Hill. I love him.
Yes, I do, too.
I went to the military, and I didn't receive my four-year degree. Mm-hmm. I did receive a two-year degree, but what I found out when I came out of the military is it's easy to get a job as a military retiree. But promotions is a problem. I was wondering, is there any statistics out there as far as us military getting stifled, basically, from getting promotions just because we didn't have a four-year degree?
That's interesting because I can pull that work for you. When I was looking up the studies and getting the research, I did not come across a comprehensive study that actually tracks the impact of military service. I know that for a number of people coming out of the military, and this is not today, but this is years ago, they were able to use the VA loan to purchase their first home and then to be able to use the college, the GI Bill, to attend a four-year college.
Right.
Were you able to tap into either the GI Bill or the VA loan?
I bought my home. I bought my home in the VA. As my daughters, two daughters, you know, grown and gone now. But I lost my VA to a conventional because the money I needed to get out to pay for their college.
That makes sense.
But I am blessed to have retired. But the ones who have not retired, they're struggling.
Right.
They're struggling.
We will actually look to get that information. I think that's an important study to look at.
Yes, and thank you.
Yes, thank absolutely. You. Thank you so much, Daryl. We will look into that. Justina, make a note, but we'll see if we can get that information for you. I have Corey on the phone from Woodlawn. Oh, let's go to Mark. Mark, how are you?
Good. How are you, Dr. K?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I'm in the same boat you're in. I got another one leaving for college this coming fall.
And they break you, don't they?
and the last one graduated last year.
Come on.
Again, as you said, don't leave that school with just debt.
Yep.
Don't let that be your mission. It ain't a four-year frat party.
Come on.
But one of the things that you talked about is absolutely true. Our kids have to get into curriculum that is going to sustain them.
Yes.
Not just because it's fashionable, or they're going to be the next Spike Lee, or they're going to write the next poet, the next play that'll be on Broadway. They better do those things that are necessities.
Yes.
Everybody needs a mechanic, as you said.
Come on.
There's a nurse job in every state in the nation.
Yes, it is.
You know, and we got to be careful that we don't direct them in places just because we think what's good for them is what we want to see. But also, again, as long as you're doing something you love, you're never going to work. As you talked about being wealthy, poor, or broke,
mm-hmm.
one of the things I've stressed to my kids, and I've done fairly decent, don't do what I do and have an hourly job.
Right.
At an hourly wage, you will generally never be wealthy. Do something where you're paid per the service. That mechanic took 20 minutes, you said. He got $500. If he did 20 of those a day, you see where he'd be?
Yep.
If I make $40 an hour every day, I know what I'm going to make at the end of 8 hours.
Come on.
Dentists, doctors, lawyers, and mechanics, electricians, they're not paid for the time that they spend with you. Because if it takes me 15 minutes to connect an outlet to your house and I want $300, there's a whole lot of 15 minutes in 8 hours.
Yes, it is.
That's what our kids need to be focusing on, being paid for your service, not by the hour.
I like that.
Have a great one.
Thank you so much. Folks, we're talking here major, career, hustle. Trade, career, hustle. I don't know why we don't value some of the skills. I'm going to keep hammering this Dr. King thing home. Really? Really? You write you a good poem, a good, strong, solid poem, but you're not a Mary Baraka, so nobody's buying your poetry. So meanwhile, while you're waiting to become a Mary Baraka, while you're on your way to being Gwendolyn Brooks, while you're waiting to be discovered as the next Maya Angelou, how you going to pay your bills? How you going to do some of the things you want to do? Folks, I often tell people, when you talk to me, the poor, broke, wealthy, really. How much money do you have coming in for non-essentials after you pay your bills? Because that'll make it real clear for you. If you bring in $100, but you have $150 worth of bills, I don't care if you have a big Fendi bag, you ain't wealthy. You're not. You are not wealthy because you don't bring in enough money to sustain your own lifestyle. You got this $1 million thing going on because you got your credit cards all maxed out. There's a way we can do this. And believe me, I am not saying I have it figured out. I am learning as I go. My parents made mistakes. I made mistakes and I'm making mistakes. And all I'm telling my children, you don't have to make the same mistakes I did. You don't. Learn from my mistakes, learn from my wisdom. There's a man who's my husband's mentor who passed away, Tom Hairston, who I just loved. He was such an amazing man. But he would often say, look at the gray hairs. The gray hairs are not here just because I'm attractive. The gray hairs are here because I have wisdom. Learn from my wisdom. And my wisdom comes from making mistakes. Our children shouldn't make the same mistakes that we did. If they do, then we have done something wrong. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Elena next. Elena, how are you?
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. How you feeling?
Awesome. So I have a lot to say, so I'm gonna speak fast.
Okay.
Number one, in terms of black and brown students not closing the wealth gap by getting education, a part of that has to do, like you said, with equitable education, right?
Mm-hmm.
So case in point, I'm a teacher in Baltimore City Public Schools, but I went to Alexandria City Public Schools. I graduated from the high school, formerly known as T.C. Williams High School, is now being renamed Alexandria City High School. And while I was in high school, I learned how to type 50 words per minute. I learned C++ coding. And I learned how to trade stocks and was advised to invest in Procter & Gamble. That was all through my public education. And to this day, teaching in Baltimore City, which is a place that I love to teach, if I be honest, I still have not seen a group of graduates get the same quality of education in terms of wealth building and how to really advance that I got 20-something years ago. That's number one. So we understand that wealth building and racism and the things that we're contending with are systemic. So just getting a degree is not enough because the degree is only one part of the system. Right. You have to understand the whole system. The other thing I'm going to say as far as a real systemic problem we have in public education is this. In Baltimore City public schools, high schools are rated on their ability to have successful post-secondary plans for their high school graduates. Those high schools are evaluated on how many students they get into college. You do not get credit for students who take up a trade.
Right.
So if I have 100 students, that's why you're always going to see college promoted in these schools, even if there isn't a sustainable plan for these kids once they get out of, into the school. Like you said, having that hustle, because if you're first generation college, it's very likely that no one's sending you money for snacks that night. No one's, I was that child. You know, you have to have a hustle just to make it through school.
Yes.
Because no one's really funding your education for the incidentals, not just tuition and books.
There you go.
So even if you're on scholarship.
Come on.
So you're on scholarship. We got you the tuition. You got the books. You still have incidental fees. You still might want snacks in the middle of the night.
Come on.
You want
to get a smoothie after you go to the gym. Somebody's got to pay for that.
If you're first generation college, especially if you're coming out of extreme poverty, that person that's going to pay for that is going to be you. I know. I worked two jobs while I was in school. So as long as high schools are not getting credit for putting students into trades, and that's a part of their high school evaluation as a school, and those high school evaluations tie into the evaluations of teachers. That's 20% of our evaluation is what they call a school index. Then you're constantly going to promote college to students, even if it's not the best thing for them. So that's the systemic thing that needs to change.
All right. Thank you so much. I got to stop you there. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. This whole idea of only getting the credit, as you're saying, for students that are going on to college. The other thing that the caller said is about the incidentals. I think that students need to start thinking about that. When we start investing in college, the incidentals. I mean, my son said, hey, I have a girlfriend. I don't think you can afford having a girlfriend. You actually can't. You don't have enough money coming in to afford yourself. And I'm not bankrolling any relationships. I'm just saying. So maybe you need to stay single and not focus on your work and put dating off until you get you a job. That's just an aside because I know he's listening, so I'm giving, that's an internal conversation I'm having right there. Let me go to Crystal next. Crystal, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Thank you so much for hosting this segment. I wanted to call in when I was listening to you talk about, you know, not stopping at your undergraduate degree, going and moving forward with your master's and your doctorates, and how a lot of people in Black and brown communities are not doing that, and that's not, that being a reason why we're not getting ahead. And I just want to say that we have to realize that the cost of a college education now compared to what it was 20 years ago, 20 years ago, you could pay your way through school.
Yeah.
You could work your way through school. It is impossible. It is almost impossible now unless you have a scholarship, unless you're on academic scholarship, or you have some type of sports scholarship. So sometimes getting more education is not the answer if you're going to come out with so much debt that you can never get ahead.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. You're,
we have to be careful when we're encouraging young people to go to school, go get your doctorates, and rack up $500,000 in debt for a job that's only going to pay you $150,000 a year.
Oh, yes. You're absolutely correct. You are. Now, let me ask you this, because I often tell people that moving away from the BA, BS degree, your master's degree and your PhDs or your EdDs, people need to be strategic and get into programs that pay.
Right.
Now, they may not give you a huge stipend, but you don't have to pay for the tuition.
Right. That's the only time. A lot of times, if I encourage anyone to get that further education, and I do, I have a bachelor's degree in accounting. I did go to an HBCU, University of Maryland Eastern Shore, mm-hmm. which paid for all 4 years of my college. So I was very blessed and fortunate. I also had a mom that had me read Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki when I was in high school. Right. So I was hip to the game before I even got to college. So, yes, there are programs that will pay for it. But let me tell you, I work for the government now. I was sitting across from CPAs who went and got their master's, who went and got their CPA. Me and them were making the same amount. Mm. And I'm in my fourth year of my career, and they were in their 10th year of their career. Wow. So education is not going to be the answer to attaining wealth. At least there's different types of education.
Right,
if you think about
point.
It now, mm-hmm. look at people who are becoming millionaires.
Yeah.
There's YouTubers are becoming millionaires.
Yep.
A lot of the people who we idolize as business owners now dropped out of college. So, and I'm not encouraging anyone to do that,
nope.
but we have to take ourselves out of the box. Black people excelled as a people before we were allowed to even get into colleges sometimes. We were able to make our own economies before getting degrees most of the time.
Now, so, let me throw something out. Now, the people that you're mentioning who dropped out of college, because we can talk about, we can go through the Bill Gates or the dropped out of college, they also had a safety net. So if you're dropping out of college to pursue your dream, you want to go and you want to, you know, do Facebook, right? You want to go and you want to do Microsoft Word, which is different when you talk about Bill Gates, because he went to a high school that had computers in the classroom as a whole experiment. But if you're dropping out of college to pursue your dream, what is your safety net? Who's bankrolling you while you're going in? And I'm all for pursuing your dreams, making sure you have a plan. If you are a YouTuber, if you are doing TikToks, bankroll that money. But understand that now those fields are so full that for one TikToker to make it through, it is hard to have a video go viral. And once it goes viral, to make money off of it.
Right. And that's for any avenue, really any industry that you look at, unless you're the originator of the idea,
Come on.
That can be the excuse of why you don't pursue it, is that it's oversaturated.
It's oversaturated. But that takes a creative mind, though, right? I mean, you and I can agree.
Absolutely.
If you want to be the originator of the idea,
then that means
you got to find a way to do it now.
You don't have to be. One thing that we're great at, we don't have to originate everything, but when we put our swag on it, we can sell it and we popularize things, and then you can monetize what you popularize.
Or you come up with the word fleek and you don't make sure it's your word.
Right.
And so they made tons of money advertising using the word fleek and the young sister that created the word because
Nothing.
She didn't know how to lock that word in and make sure that that was her word.
Right.
The same way that they did with massage noir. The sister that made that word, she is making bank. That is her word. She created it. She bankrolled it. She locked it in. That
right.
Didn't
or like
with
sister
sleep.
Locks. How that whole process is patented. Now, when we talk about education, that's the type of education that we need to make sure that our young people have. Why? Because they're always creating. They're always making things.
Yeah.
You can give someone a book in high school on how to copyright and trademark, and they'll understand the concept versus sending them to school to get a business degree and coming out and they're managers at a fast food restaurant. Yeah. Like, and I'm not saying that that's bad. All I'm saying is that we have to open up our minds to the different types of education.
There's a way to do it.
And understand
there's
so many paths. Understand what the purpose of college is. I agree with you. The purpose of you going to college is to get a network. Your four-year degree, that's the number one reason why you there, to get a network, to get in good with people that can get you a job.
And
tap into that network. Because nothing you learn your 4 years is nothing that you can't pick up a book on and study.
Okay, I got to stop you there. Thank you so much. I know we have a lot of calls. Let me go. We have Michelle, Coley, Teresa. Let me go to Michelle next. Michelle, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Dr.
I'm doing well. Thank you.
That's good. I have two points I want to make. One, first of all, I agree with everybody, what everyone said. But one thing I don't think that we always consider is the fact that our kids in Baltimore City and that are coming up, our black and brown kids are not financially literate. And there's no one out there to teach them how to be financially literate. So that puts them at a disadvantage. The second thing that puts us at a disadvantage when it comes to us getting the degree, if you do the research, most of the degrees that a lot of African-American brown kids are coming out with are in the liberal arts.
Yes.
And sometimes that's not where the money is.
No, it's not.
It's not.
No,
so
it's not.
One of the things that's missing is our kids don't have that math and that science background. Some of our boys and girls in Baltimore City don't get exposed to science until they're in high school.
Yeah.
So So that puts them decades behind their counterparts who have had science since kindergarten.
Yeah.
And those strong math skills, another thing that they're lacking. I know Baltimore City, we all talk about kids can't read, but at the end of the day, that math piece is missing as well. And those critical thinking skills that go along with math puts them at a disadvantage. So although we rate and boast about City and Poly having these great numbers of kids going to college, look at it beyond that and see how many of those kids are sustaining themselves once they get there. The research said about 10 years ago that the kids were graduating from City, although they were getting into college, they weren't able to sustain themselves to stay the whole entire 4 years. So
thank you so much for putting that
in.
I mean, honey, and I am all for a liberal arts degree. Y'all know I'm into the liberal. I am the queen of liberal arts. I just want to know, as you're majoring in liberal arts, as I did, what is your plan, okay? I had my career. I knew I wanted to be a, for me, I said, well, I want to be a teacher. I want to be a professor. I know I want to do something involving teaching. I majored in history. I said, I want to do something involving teaching. But my hustle was, because I'm going to tell you mine before I go to you. My hustle, I have two big hustles. Two. I can write and I can speak. Those are my two big hustles. And so when I was in high school, I was publishing my poetry, putting it in books, and then, you know, saying, giving out poems and reading them on the streets and selling my poetry books for $10. Going into college, people need some help editing papers. I could write and I can speak. Hey, you need a speaker for an event? First, I was charging nothing. Then I was charging $50. Then I started charging for real. I can write and I can speak. What's your hustle? So even if the economy falls apart, I can write and I can speak. It's my hustle. And my dad said, you know what? Nourish your hustle. Nourish it. Because one day your hustle might be your career. That's when you really made it. When your hustle becomes your career. Your hustle is that you can cut hair and it becomes you owning up your own barbershop. Come on. Your hustle has become your career. I can write and I can speak. My hustle has become my career as I'm sitting right here on the radio. I can write and I can speak. 410-319-8888. Got a lot of phone calls. I'm trying to get to them all. Justina, who do I have up next? Let's go to Coley. Coley's on the line. Hey, Coley, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, Dr.
Jason? I'm doing well. Thank you.
God, dog, you said you paid like a $5 piece to get a whole stick. I mean, it's pretty much like you said. It's all in who you know.
Come on.
You know, I mean, it sounds like you like one
Come
of those Jeep mechanics. Like,
please. They saw me coming, Coley. They saw me coming.
Like, you're going to get swined at a Midas or something like that. Like, you know what I mean? Because I just sent people to get transmissions put in for $600.
I need you to connect me, Coley. That's what I'm saying. Can you connect the sister, please? Can you connect the sister?
A cold day lizzle guy, man. I got the plug. Like, straight up on a lot of stuff, and like school is a joke. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know guys that were as though dropped out in the fifth grade and making six figures.
There you go.
So school is a joke.
I like what you said. Hey, Coley, you know, I need you to give me some information. Get Coley's information.
Hey, click, clack, let me.
Because, you know, next time that hose breaks, there are people I need to call. They saw me coming. Come on.
I'm trying to tell you, get with me.
Come on, I'm with you. Hold on, Coley, 1 second. Let's go to Teresa. Teresa, how are you?
Oh, hi. How y'all doing today?
I'm doing well, Teresa. Thanks for calling.
Good. I'm calling because my grandson, his name is Jamont Parker. He graduated today from Omen High School. His mother is in the process of trying to get him to maybe go to a community college.
Yes.
He want to take up some kind of engineering theory, like playing music. But she did find out that they got a program where they're going to have, like, forklift training.
Yes.
We're trying to find out what he can do, but he's not going to no four-year college, only a community college for right now. Yeah.
Okay. No problem. No, and I think that's not a bad idea at all. Community college is a good place. There are so many scholarships that can help you going from a two-year college program, associate's degree, if you want to finish up and get your BA. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, and Justina, didn't Catherine Pugh, I see my man's in the Anthony McCarthy is, I'm looking at him through the window, y'all, in full flesh and blood. Didn't Mayor Catherine Pugh set it up where Baltimore City students could go to community college for free?
I know,
saying.
Yes,
come on now.
And when the county, I think Governor Hogan
going. I don't know know what Hogan is doing, but I remember Mayor Catherine Pugh because I actually applauded that effort. Folks, we got to hold it here. I think Justina, can we take one more phone call, Justina? We got to wrap it up. This has been Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. I want to say I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you calling. Thank you so much to the Baltimore Business Journal for actually giving me the Leaders in Diversity Award. And I want to send a special thank you to Congressman Kwesi Mfume for sending me a note of congratulations that we're going to play tomorrow. But I really appreciate him doing that. Stay with us for the Culture. Anthony McCarthy sitting in the chair for Faraji Muhammad. So you have a treat coming up in the next hour. Stay with us.